Amen. Thank you. All right, would you all please bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, we come before you this morning in thankfulness for this day, for you calling us to this day, this new day, this Sunday, this Lord's Day. We thank you for calling us to this day, for bringing us through to this day. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would be made present, knowably present, in this place. We pray that the words that you have given me would be your words, that they would not be my own, and that I would not get in the way of your message of love this morning. Lord, we thank you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in preparation for this message, I read through this passage over and over again. I read through it multiple times, probably more than I usually do. But of course, I do that every time I prepare a message. I look at different translations, and I lay them out on the computer next to each other, and I look at different verses, and I see how those verses compare in different translations. And as I was doing this, something really jumped out at me. And it's this idea of lasting fruit. It's this idea of lasting fruit. And so this message is called Fruit That Will Last. In verse 16 of this chapter, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." So just to highlight again, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so lasting fruit. What is lasting fruit? And so I brought this, it's kind of hard to see, but I don't know if Mike can, you know, make it a little bigger for everybody. I brought this banana. This banana, this ripe and fresh, this new yellow banana, a piece of fruit, and it looks really good, right? I could just eat it right now. It's just perfect, really. But the banana, the plant that this banana came from produced good fruit. It produced good fruit because it received the right nutrients. It received water. It received soil. You know, all of those things that it needs to produce good fruit. And yeah, either today or tomorrow, probably on my way home, I'm going to be enjoying this banana and receiving the benefits of this good fruit. But it isn't going to last. Sadly, if I didn't eat it on the way home, or if I waited a few days, it would turn brown and gross. It would get all mushy, more like this one. And it will begin to decompose, you know. It's going to be gross. Not many people like these mushy brown bananas. Not many people like them. They're good for smoothies, but
banana bread too.
Yeah, banana bread too. But nobody really wants to bite into this. So, but we simply just don't have fruit that really lasts, you know. But I don't think Jesus was talking about that kind of fruit that we might have. He was talking about something different. And he's actually echoing a parable in this section that he talked about earlier in this chapter. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus talked about how he is the true vine and how his Father, God, is the gardener. And he tells us there that we must remain in him as he remains in the Father. He reminds us that no branch can bear fruit for itself. It must remain in the vine. We must remain in him, he says in verse 4. And in verses 5 and 6, he goes on with his illustration saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Again, this talk of fruit. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And so we skip down to verse 8 where it comes together. It kind of comes together in verse 8. Jesus says in verse 8, he says, this, meaning abiding in Jesus, meaning being in him, meaning remaining in him, meaning producing fruit. He says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Or I like how the NLT version translates verse 8. He says in verse 8, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. And so what I want to do is I want to look at two verses in particular, two verses next to each other. The two verses that jumped out at me in this previous passage and the passage that we read today, verses 8 and verse 16, because I think they parallel when you look at them. Verse 8 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And so I highlight those two verses because I want to just go over them a little bit. That they say that you will bear much fruit and fruit that will last. They go together. They parallel. They work together because the fruit that we produce should last, should be lasting fruit in our faith. And so again, what is this fruit that will last? How can fruit last? We've already seen the bananas that have a shelf life of maybe 2 to 9 days when ripe and in perfect conditions. But what is this fruit that will last? What is that in our lives? What is that? If you didn't know, as I mentioned earlier, we've been gathering materials and donations to give to our sister churches in Baltimore City to help out our brothers and our sisters that have been affected by the results of the rioting. We've been collecting these items, assembling health kits, and we're going to take more donations down to the churches this week. And we want to help out. And in this action that we're taking, it's great. It's awesome. The mission is great. We are helping people. We're producing some fruit, you know. We're going and doing God's work in Baltimore. And so in these things, we're bearing some fruit. But in light of the passage today, I just want to wonder out loud, what is going to be the fruit of that mission? Will the fruit that we bear from that mission to Baltimore, is it going to last? Will it be lasting fruit? And what will that look like? Because I know that we're doing good work. I know that. And I'm so thankful, again, for so many of you contributing to this cause. I know that and people will benefit from your donations as well. But is the fruit going to last from this? Is this going to be lasting fruit for us at Orms and in the churches in the city? Will anything actually change for the better because of what we've been doing in Christ? And that's the key. The answer lies, the answer to that question, that rhetorical kind of question, lies in the motivation behind the giving, in the motivation behind the assembling of the kits, and in the motivation behind everything that we do here at Orams and in our individual lives. What is that motivation? Because Jesus goes on in verse 17 of this, the passage that we read today, and he gives us the answer on how to make lasting fruit. He gives us the answer right here. He says in verse 17, he says, this is my command, love each other. Love. Love is the nutrient that makes the fruit grow, that makes it last. Love is how the fruit lasts. And so again, we know that the banana won't last, but our work with the churches and the people of Baltimore, our work with Streets of Hope, another mission that we support here, our work with the food pantry that we have here, the prayer shawls that we put together, the angel tree, and every other mission that we do here, and in our own giving, in our personal lives, will bear lasting fruit for the kingdom of God if it is rooted in love. Love for Christ, love for God, and love for our neighbors. That is how we bear lasting fruit. And so I think, to answer the question, I think that that with what we have been doing for Baltimore, I think there's going to be some lasting fruit there, and I'm excited to see how God is going to bring that fruit to fruition, if you will. But all of this made me think of another passage, another scripture passage from the Bible. Many of us know 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as being a wedding scripture. But I want you to listen to it now in light of what all of that is, in light of love being the essential ingredient to making fruit that lasts in the kingdom of God. I want you to listen to it as I read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's going to be on the screen, but listen, okay? This is the Apostle Paul writing this to the church in Corinth. He says, "If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And so love, Paul would argue, and Jesus is saying, love is the answer to making everlasting fruit for the kingdom of God. And what a great message for Mother's Day. So many of us have had mothers or grandmothers or aunts or sisters or best friends that are women that have been like mothers to us. Sometimes even when our mothers couldn't be or wouldn't be there. But these women, they've loved us when it felt like no one else did. They've lifted us up when others were only there, it felt like, to push us down. These women loved us and love us still, and we love these women, these mothers, in our lives. And their love for us created a fruit. This is key. Their love for us created a fruit in our lives that has lasted. Their love for us created this everlasting fruit in our lives because their motivation for loving us was love itself. That's it. That was their motivation. Their actions showed us that love to us and the fruit showed that love to us. Their actions showed that love to us that Jesus was talking about. And the fruit has been born in us because of their love and their sacrifice for us. And so I want to say to all of us gathered here, myself included, We can't let the love, the cycle of love, end there with our mothers or our mothers for our lives. Can't let it end there. We can't just be the recipient of that love, women and men, brothers and sisters. We can't do that. We can't let it end there. I encourage myself, singing about this earlier, about what I was going to do, but I encourage you all to share that love, to bear some everlasting fruit in other people's lives, in those that you love this week or this month. The women that petitioned the first Mother's Day, and I'm sorry if you know this story, if I butcher it, because I don't know their names. I forgot their names, sorry. But the women that petitioned for the first Mother's Day, they were a mother and daughter pair. And they were United Methodists, by the way. So they went and they petitioned the president for this first Mother's Day, and they went and the mother actually passed away before it was passed, and the daughter got it pushed through with Woodrow Wilson. And you know, when they passed it through, they weren't thinking that there was going to be this huge Hallmark card business, you know, that was going to be started out of it, or that we would go to a Giant or Food Line or wherever and go pick up some flowers, and or the guy on the side of the road, and take the flowers to our moms in that sense, and that would just be Mother's Day. No, they weren't thinking that. They were thinking that their intention was to have people write a letter or to write a note to their mother, expressing how much they loved their mother in this note, in this letter, to make it personal from them. That was their intention. And so with that intention in mind of these good United Methodist women, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Here's what I want to challenge you and myself to do in the coming weeks. I want you to write a letter. I want you to write a note. Whatever, a letter, a note, and it doesn't have to be to your mother, okay? It can be, doesn't have to be, but I want you to write a note to someone that you think needs to know that they're loved. I want you to write a note to someone that you think needs to know and be reminded that they're loved by you. Maybe they don't even know that you love them. Maybe they don't even know that you recognize them, but send this note to them and write it. I want to, for everybody that uses email, okay, I love email. I use email all the time. But let's write it out on paper. People don't get handwritten notes like that. And so I want to encourage you to handwrite these notes for these people. It could be your friend. It could be anyone. But take the time to write this letter, this note to them, sharing the love that you have for them and bearing some lasting fruit in their lives. And in the meantime, while you think about who you might write this note to, let the love of Christ, the sacrificial love, the love that we talked about in the children's message, the love of laying down one's life, of Christ's life for us, impact all that you do. We always talk about it. Let it impact you. You go into the grocery store and standing in that long line, you know, and how you address that situation. Let it impact how you give money and supplies to Baltimore or even Nepal and all the stuff that's been going on in Baltimore. I think, myself included, we've forgotten about Nepal, but thousands upon thousands of people have lost their lives in Nepal. So think about how Christ would respond to that situation. Or think even about how Christ would ask you to love in a sacrificial way for this church, or for a different organization that you're a part of that can produce lasting fruit. But whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Do it all as if you were doing it for and in the love of Christ. Do it out of that love, because I don't want you to be like the banana. I don't want you to be like that, you know. I don't want you to be ripe today and rotten tomorrow, okay? I don't want that. But I want you to live and love like everlasting fruit. Love like it's going to last forever, because in love, through Christ, it can and it will. Amen. Amen.